Lord, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, for the times you've gotten us into. These things that are coming, Lord, it's amazing. The things that are happening right now, it's just, I'm telling you, it's just mind-boggling. You know, Lord, it's going to take us being closer to you than we've ever been before, Lord. And I'm asking, Lord, that you grab each one of us by the hand and lead us, guide us, and direct us in the ways and the things that you want us to do. And place it in our hearts, Lord, to be prayer warriors for you, Lord. That's how things get done, is when we pray. And Lord, I just thank you that you're taking all spontaneity out of all of us, that we don't do anything without asking you first. And knowing that when we do, we get an answer. Lord, I just thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for your words to us that gives us direction. I thank you, Lord, for filling us all up with your Holy Spirit every day that we ask for it and just believe that we receive it, Lord. That's all we have to do. But we have to take time to pray and to ask for those things that we need. One of them we all need is wisdom. We need your wisdom, Lord, for the days ahead. And I thank you, Lord, for your words coming out of the Word of God. That's the truth that never lies. And Lord, we thank you that if we just go by your rules in the Word of God and believe by faith, that you're working this work in us, Lord, it's going to happen. And is happening every day. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, I ask and I pray that you forgive me of all the things that I've done against you, the disobedience, the rebellion, all of those things that has happened. And Father, I thank you for a clean slate, that now we can come to you with our conscience clear and know that when we pray that you're going to answer our prayers, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you for placing it in everybody's heart here on the fellowship to be right with you and to talk to you all the time and to be praying in the Spirit at all times. Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you for your anointing tonight upon this great group of believers, Lord, that the things that we talk about tonight and the things that we do tonight, Father, are going to be pleasing to you. And I praise you, Father, for all that's accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. But all right. I want to tell you what I got. I asked the Lord for a word before I came on. For this group here. And I got Joel 2. 22. I'm going to start at 21 and read through 27. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he gives you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, praise God. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. Praise be to God. Glory be to God. And that's what I asked him. I said, Lord, give me a word for all of us tonight in this fellowship. And that's what he's got. So y'all get ready, because he's going to restore everything that the canker worm and the palmer worm has taken away from you. Praise God. Not only that, you're going to be anointed with the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody got an immediate prayer request? Because I got a bunch later on. Go ahead.
Well, I'll go first then. I just want to pray for I guess the last two Fridays have been tougher than usual, so I don't want to take any chances. I want to ask for, you guys agree with me, for a good day of prayer, a good day at work tomorrow and a safe travel. I'm going to visit, everybody down there in Tennessee. And I wanted to lift up a couple of my coworkers. I think yesterday, and I want to say today, I just kind of overheard some conversation, and I've heard the same things before, but I just want to lift them up that God will begin to get their attention. They're very bitter and just, full of unforgiveness, just very, very hurting people, that I work with. And, I want to lift them up in prayer that God would get their attention and that he would continue, but begin to really do a good work in them. So going to agree with me. Father God, I just thank you for this group here. I thank you for a group that, Lord, I can come together with these people, and we can come to you, Lord, and we believe. We have such faith. We believe that whatever we ask for, Lord, it's done. I thank you that we have such bold faith like that, and we can come to you for anything, Lord. That is definitely a blessing as children of God. And Lord, I just pray for a blessed day tomorrow at work. I thank you for what you've been doing at my job, and I thank you that you've blessed me immensely lately. You've shown me, just how powerful you really are, how much you'll change people, how much you'll change situations, I thank you for that. And Lord God, I ask that the enemy would not have his way, most of all tonight, leading into my shift tomorrow, but, especially tomorrow, that would be a smooth day. Everything will go smooth. I thank you for, safety. No one will get hurt. No one will be, will call off. Everyone will show up, but most of all, it'll just be a smooth, safe, productive day, where we don't run into many issues. Or if we do, then we'll be able to get through them without any major problems, Lord. So I thank you that you're just going to provide for me and all my coworkers, most of all too. Lord, bless them with a good, smooth Friday day tomorrow. And I pray for safe travels tomorrow down to Tennessee, Lord. Send forth the angels to lead the way, to surround my car, and to protect me from, maybe any attacks or whatever the enemy wants to do, but Lord, I just pray for safe travels tomorrow and good fellowship this weekend and just whatever you want to do, Lord, that's what I pray. Have your way in this weekend, for me, but for all of us. And Lord, I want to lift up to you as well my few of my coworkers, John Thomas, Dave Welch, the one, we've mentioned many times, Lord, Tom, Chris Graham, Tim, Jim, Lord, there are others, but those guys specifically, Lord, I've been through a lot with them, Lord. I thank you for some of the experiences I've had. I've got to know them a little bit. I thank you that I can have a better idea of what to pray for. And Lord, I lift them up to you, and I just join with all my other brothers and sisters here and, our faith together that, Lord, you'd begin to or you to continue the work that you're going to do. Lord, would you reveal to them how much you love them? They don't know just how much you love them. I don't know where they exactly stand with you, but Lord, I pray that they would know how much you love them, that you're not angry at them, that you desire to know them, and you desire that they would come to know you, Lord. You desire to heal them of their pasts, of the failures of the company that they have taken personally. Lord, you desire to take that unforgiveness from their hearts, you know, that bitterness, that anger, all that hatred. Lord, I pray that they would truly understand that, Lord. You know, forgive me. Lord, help me to be a better witness. You know, and I pray that I'm sure they do see the differences in the past 3 or so years in me. But Lord, let that light shine much brighter so that they could see and give me opportunities to tell them, you know, because I've been in their shoes. And I thank you that I no longer am, you know, and I thank you the work you've done. So I ask, Lord, most of all, that you would just show them, you know, use me, use whoever, put people in their lives, or, you know, however way you see fit, Lord, show them just how much you love them, what Jesus did for them, and what you can do for them most of all, Lord, you know, if they'll choose to follow you, you know, and they'll get saved. I mean, the benefits are just out of this world, literally. So, Lord, I pray that they would stop looking to everything else that they do, you know, for comfort, and that they'd begin to look to you. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Is that it? Any testimonies or praise reports? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to praise the Lord. Excuse me. Praise the Lord for his guidance. I know that I've read and listened, of course, to you guys, that you have a constant habit of asking the Lord to guide you and then opening up the scripture and putting your finger down type of thing. And I had done that before previously quite a bit, but I, as of late, it seems like I received more darkness in the process than light. In other words, I'd hit a scripture, the Lord would give me a scripture, and I wouldn't have a clue, one, what it applied to. It just didn't seem to apply. And Tuesday, when I mentioned that, a scripture that the Lord gave me, it was very encouraging to hear that you guys were in the same book, Tim, you know, opened my eyes to that particular fact, and then the thing about looking at the name. So I realized that I was taking the word, but I couldn't understand it. So I just set it to the side and kind of thought, well, maybe it's whatever. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was a little bit discouraged about it. But anyway, I just want to praise the Lord that he's kind of given me another depth or another understanding of it, and through your help, your guidance, a lot of your input, it just helped me very much. So I just want to praise the Lord that he continues to guide us along through this process. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Body ministry. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Oh, That's okay. I got to share this because, you know, we talked about on Tuesday having a night of praise and worship. And I was looking for a verse earlier, and it was the exact same Joel chapter 2, verse 21 down that you read at the beginning that I was going to share if we had a praise and worship, share a verse time. So I thought that was a confirmation for what you had there.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's the way he is. Thank you, Lord. It's fixing to happen, too. It's fixing to happen. Oh. We are. Let me get this down just a second so I can open up something. I wanted to read what we're doing here. Okay, here it is. All right, I'm going to read this. And y'all can ask the Lord if you're involved too. David says, we received this text just below twice to pray and fast now. Said he got six heads for confirmation, and I also got confirmations also. And I asked if we should exempt our coming pot blessing from this fast, and got six tails for no. So it's not going to be a pot blessing this Saturday. We're going to be fasting and praying. We will gather together Saturday to fast and pray. And I did the same thing. I asked the Lord if it was to be to start today or Sunday, and he told me to start today. Then he quotes a bunch of verses. And some other stuff here. We need to pray and fast for Hassan, Yaha, Khalid, and the true brethren to be safe, wise, and effective in battle against the Catholics. Ali, who have shown their willingness to kill to get their way. And just like that. And the angels to strengthen President Trump and the right wing and to rout out the left in the same way. There's an all-out assault against the right now. Pray for the Senate to vote down the House bill to overturn the emergency order to build the wall by the president. Pray for our angels to rout the faction against us in the same way. Rout them out, Lord. And don't forget all our brethren fighting the enemy's attacks too. And we need to pray in the GCR. All of this is Satan's war against the saints and his attempts to take back our government. Let's bind him and his principalities and powers and rulers of darkness for the sake of the saints. And of course, some more. But anyway, that you get the gist of it. We're doing this. You can ask the Lord if you're to participate, how you participate. That's what the Lord told us. That everybody just fast and pray the way that the Lord wants you to. And so that's what it is. I'm going to go ahead and pray now. Well, Lord, I lift up President Trump to you. And Lord, I thank you that your warrior angels all around about him, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that your angels are guiding him in the way that he needs to go. And Father, I thank you for the protection that you have afforded him and his cabinet and all the GOP senators that are behind him. And Father, I ask and I pray that you rout out the enemy in the government, the treasonous people that are there, Lord. It's pretty obvious to anyone with half a brain and one eye can tell that there's a lot of treasonous effort going on up there to keep this country from being safe. And Father, I thank you for routing them out, exposing the darkness up there in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to turn around this bill that the Democrats have passed in the House to shut down Trump with this national security. Just, Lord, it's just amazing to me how brain dead these people are, because they know that the Senate's not going to pass it. They know, even if it got out of the Senate, that the president ain't going to, he's not going to sign it. And Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you're giving them. And Lord, I thank you for people like Jim Jordan that are coming against this lying man they've got in Congress there, testifying all of his lies and stuff about Trump. Lord, it's just a charade. It's a clown act, really. And Father, I thank you for exposing the Democrats for who they are. It's just amazing to me to see stupid all over the place up there. And Lord, I thank you for keep on exposing it until the people just get tired of looking at it and understand what's going on. Lord, we know that we've got our eyes on you. We don't have to worry about anything. And Lord, I know that pestilence is coming, and I thank you for your Passover upon all your chosen, Father. I thank you for that, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you've given them faith to believe that they don't have to worry about the pestilence that's coming, but that we do need to be praying for those that are called and hadn't come in yet, but they are chosen. And Father, I praise you for that, and I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in everybody's heart to start out the day praying. Start out the day praying, Father. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that not only is it going to be a starting time, but it's not going to be the finish. The finish time is when we lay our head down to sleep at night, that we're just continually in spiritual prayer at all times. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. It's just an awesome time that we have every Tuesday and Thursday night, and sometimes on Saturday night. And I just praise you, Father, for all you're doing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Anybody else want to pray?
Father, we thank you for your wisdom, Lord, that you've given us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us to guide us into all truth. And Lord, we just trust you to guide us in prayer, to guide us in knowing how to do this battle that is against our president right now. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us grace, wisdom, direction, strength. Give us scriptures to lock onto, Lord, that we can anchor down and put our faith and trust in your supply in those and making those things happen. And we thank you for that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And Lord, we see a lot, an overwhelming amount of darkness in our Congress right now. And we see that obviously because the devil wants to take out the leaders and work from the leadership, because whatever happens at that level filters its way down and affects us all. But Lord, we thank you that you have translated us out from under that kingdom and placed us into your kingdom, and that we can, as ambassadors, stand against these and see these evil rulers and take them down for how you guide us to do so. And we thank you for that. I just bind those spirits that are motivating some of those Democratic people. I think of Shift or Ship or whatever his name is the leader of the Senate Investigations Committee or something, but he is in charge of one of those committees. And Lord, I'd pray that you would put confusion in his heart, that you would scatter the work of the devil in his life, that you would scatter that work and let it permeate that committee, that it would start to scatter and dissolve the force that is motivating those people to attack the president, to continually seek to dig up things. I know I heard someone say, give an example, that the FBI is not supposed to investigate people. They're supposed to investigate crimes. But yet this is exactly what's happening in our Senate, foreign relations, in these committees that are doing all these investigations. They're investigating the person of Trump to try to dig up something from his past. But Lord, I stand against that in the name of Jesus Christ. I forbid them from being unified in that direction. I forbid them from being able to pursue that any further. I scatter that in the name of Jesus, by the word of Jesus, that whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Send angels there to start to make those forces that are guiding those people to start to deteriorate and to just to scatter them. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Just pray that you would strengthen President Trump in this time, Lord. And I don't know, I believe that he sees what's happening in these negotiations with these foreign leaders, and he understands how to negotiate, and I believe that he realizes that it doesn't matter what way the outcome would be. The Democratic leadership would attack him either way. So I pray that you would just give him strength, Lord. Focus his attention. Lord, I pray that you would put it in his heart to start reading the word, start reading the Proverbs and the Psalms, and that you would bring about in his heart. I know he has heard the prophecy of Cyrus, and I would pray that you, that word, your word, would start to permeate and start to percolate in his heart, and he would start to see the consistencies of your word in examples that he sees around him in the earth today. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord. Once that word goes in, once we believe it, that power functions. It obliterates the opposition and starts tearing down the strongholds. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. We just pray you would cover President Trump with a special covering of grace, a covering of humility, a covering of trust, that he can trust and have his confidence, knowing that his confidence is from you, Lord. That he, Lord, give him, lead him to a scripture, whether you bring somebody his way, to show him that you place all people in authority. You place the rulers of the nations in authority. No nation comes into being without your creation, without your speaking it into existence. So, Lord, just give him, President Trump, wisdom to guide us, strength to stand against the foes. And Lord, we stand with him as well in this time. And we just praise you, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that the victory is already won, and we just trust you for it, Lord. Our eyes are upon you, and our heart is upon you, and we trust you and thank you for it. Just bless us as we continue on in your word, Lord. Give us grace. Give us, lead us in your word, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, what else? Did everybody get to listen to that email I sent out? I see one or two heads moving. okay, most everybody did. Some of these heads I can't see, but that's okay. Well, if you listen to it, you understand what he's talking about. David Wilkerson is talking about is the wolves in sheep's clothing and some of the great names that we know about. He had on that, or they had on that particular sermon that he had. And that's what we're faced with today is people that are speaking ice cream sermons. And not warning the people what's coming. That's the big thing, is not warning people what is coming. They're thinking they're going to get zapped out of here before, with all their money, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, that's what it was about. It was about the wolves in sheep's clothing and the prosperity preachers. And not only that, the preachers that are preaching that there's more than one way to heaven other than Jesus. And we've got Christian, so-called Christian preachers preaching that stuff. And it's just an abomination to the Lord. I'm going to open it up. Y'all just go ahead and talk about it now. I'm going to sit back and listen. Now, I do have another little old deal that I can play, and it's very powerful. And it's basically on the same subject, but it's not near as long. If y'all would like to see that first, then we'll talk about it. Because it incorporates something else with it that's very needed. Okay, we'll do that.
Hell-shaking prayer. Hell-shaking prayer. Go to Daniel, if you will, please, the sixth chapter. Now, Daniel's main occupation, though, was prayer. He was a busy, busy man. At 80 years of age, he's assigned to be president over these princes in the province. His time alone with God took precedence over everything that he did. Now, this man was over all the intellectuals. He was over the astrologers. He was made the main leader over the whole province. Now, this is a busy man. Do you understand this? There's no man can be in that position without being a most busy man. But nothing could take away his time for prayer. Three times a day, this man stole away from all his occupation, from all of his burdens and his leadership needs, and he slipped away and spent time with the Lord. At 80 years of age, he got his direction on his knees. This man never had to call a conference. He never had to go to a committee meeting to get answers. He never had to take a roll call. He never had to do this. He prayed and God answered his prayer. This was a man who heard from God because he was a man of prayer, the scripture says very clearly. Nebuchadnezzar, for example, has a dream. None of his astrologers or sorcerers or magicians can interpret the dream. And he has decreed that they all be killed. And this included the wise men. This was a death warrant, not against all the astrologers and wise men and intellectuals of his time that surrounded the court. They couldn't interpret his dreams, and he said, since you can't dissolve my doubts, you're dead. There's no purpose for your being alive. Daniel receives this message, and he calls a meeting with his three praying friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they didn't try to interface. They didn't try to take a survey among the Jews to find out how they could find some plan to cause survival of the Jewish nation. They prayed, the Bible says. They went to their knees. They went to their knees to hear from God. Daniel, the second chapter. Slip back to the second chapter of Daniel, if you will, please. And look at verse 20 through 22. Daniel answered and said, see, he's prayed and he's got the answer now. And he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now, where did Daniel get that? He got it no other place than in the secret closet of prayer. He got it seeking the face of God. The Old Testament church at this time was at its lowest point. It's in captivity. The spirit of Babylon had gotten a hold of all the people. The praises of God had been silenced. They had lost their song, the scripture says. And Satan is set on destroying Israel, because out of Israel is going to come the seed. Out of this nation is the seed, Christ, the Messiah, who's going to destroy the power of Satan. The devil knows that. And he's trying to destroy the royal seed. He's trying to destroy the seed, Jesus Christ. And it was Satan himself who initiated this decree. You know these men didn't initiate it themselves. It had to come from demonic instruction. The world is not impacted by super churches. The world is not impacted by massive buildings or massive memberships. It's impacted only by Holy Ghost sin-exposing truth that gets into the heart and changes it. That is the only thing that impacts the world. The world is not impressed about a church in a theater on Broadway. If people came in here and did not hear something that struck their heart, if they did not expose the deep sin that's hidden in their heart, if the Holy Ghost wasn't here, it's just another show. When the nation begins to see the handwriting on the wall, when judgment becomes so evident in this nation, they're not going to be turning to prosperity preachers. They're not going to be talking to those who said all is well. When the finger appears and it handwriting is on the wall, and I see that finger appearing right now. The finger is already here. And when that finger begins to write judgment, and everybody knows it's beginning to happen, there had better be some Daniels around who can read the times. There had better be some praying people, not only in the pulpit but in the pew, who know what God is doing, who are not afraid, who have the answer. Because everybody's going to be like Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to have doubts. They're going to have fears. There will be churches all over the United States and around the world when people get upright in the middle of the service. I'll tell you, how many skits do you think they're going to be when the handwriting comes? How many jokesters in the pulpit? How much straw is going to be preached and given and fed to the people? When the people are losing everything they have, many are going to be losing their houses and their lands and their possessions. And they're going to get up right in the middle of the message and say, Pastor, what's happening? What's going on? You didn't tell us. You didn't warn us. Well, I get tired of warning. Yes, I get tired of the word doomsday preacher. I get weary of it, yes, in my flesh. But there's something in my heart. I know that when the handwriting comes on the wall, it's going to be just like Nebuchadnezzar. Who has the answer? Who understands the times? Who can dissolve my doubts? We had better be there. We had better be men and women of God on our knees. He turned to his astrologer and said, you're stalling. You don't have the answer. And I see that stalling in the pulpit today because men have lost touch with God. I thank God for the praying preachers, but there are so few. Like the man I told you about, Pastor, 1,200 people asked me and my wife out for dinner. And his wife said, "We asked you out because my husband has a confession." She said, "Honey, you better tell him or I'll tell him." I thought it was going to be adultery. And he blurted out, he said, "Pastor Dave," he said, I have to acknowledge, "your preaching got a hold of me." He said, "I have not prayed in 1 year. I've not prayed in 1 year." Successful pastor, people, church growing, and because there were certain people coming who wanted to hear what he had to say because there was no power in it to convict them. Folks, I want you to know that when hard times come, when people are in trouble, when they're sick and afflicted, and they're having family problems and things go wrong, they're not wanting empty, foolish, candy cotton preaching. They don't want something that tells them they're all right. They want to hear the truth. They want it unadulterated. They want it even piercing if it's necessary. They want the truth. He said, "I need my doubts dissolved." You're a pastor here of a church. I'm telling you, you had better be a man of prayer in the days ahead because your people are going to want their doubts resolved. They're going to want a man in the pulpit that can stand there and reassure them what is happening and what is coming in the near future. I'm amazed at the terrible misconception in the church world today about what the world wants. You see, all these polls and everything else, they've come up with these ideas that work only in a time of prosperity, when all things are well. But none of these things work when the handwriting appears. None of it works when the difficult times are coming and people's families are breaking up and their children are going to drugs and their bank accounts begin to diminish. The finger of God is on the wall. Now we have a Belshazzar and 1,000 lords trembling. 1,000 lords who don't need a skit. 1,000 lords who are shaking. 1,000 politicians who don't know what's happening. 1,000 politicians that are astonished. What is happening? Nobody has an answer. They're in fear and trembling. And Daniel comes on the scene and they tell us that people don't want to hear preaching about sin anymore. They tell us that you have to be non-confrontational. There's a church in San Diego, a charismatic church that advertises, I told you this, "This ain't your mama's church." 15 minutes of singing, 15 minutes of lecture, and football scores during the service. Wait. Wait till the wall. Your finger appears. Daniel comes on the scene. Not to flatter. He doesn't come to give them what they think they want. He knows, because he's been on the knees, what they need. Listen to what he said. "Thou Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart. You have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. Your days are numbered. Your kingdom is finished. You're weighed in God's balance. You're found wanting. Belshazzar, it's all over." He told it like it was. He told it unadulterated, untainted, and they loved it. They wanted it. They put a gold neck on his chains, a satin robe on him, and make him the third ruler of the whole kingdom. It's what they wanted to hear. They wanted truth that would set them free. Folks, we came to New York City to start a church. And when we first saw a whole row of transvestites, when I looked down one day and saw all these men dressed, looked like very pretty women. Some very pretty blondes. I'm not making fun, but I stood there and said, "Oh God, what kind of preaching is going to take? Drug addicts, alcoholics, people that were raising hands praising the Lord and still performing in these shows that were vile and filthy. What kind of preaching? Non-confrontational? Am I going to come down with a pad and pencil and line them up and say, now, what would you like me to preach so that I could keep you coming back? Do you want the organ out? You don't like the songs up here? Tell me what you want. We'll give it to you. Never. This church would be empty. This church would have been closed in 6 months. They would have left us out of town because every one of those down there were hungry. They had doubts that needed to be resolved. They wanted the truth. And it came forth with power and unction and love and grace. And it changed their lives. And many of them are here. Some of them are in the house tonight. Let me talk to you about the perils of a praying man. This is one of the occasions that I called a conspiracy of interruptions. I'm certain the devil conspired with these co-presidents to involve Daniel in job-related busyness that would take him away from the secret closet. Ask preachers today why they don't pray. One after another. I have no time. By the time I fulfill all the demands made on my time, I can't do it. All I have time to do is to go, and many go to the Bible just to find a text and preach on it. They go to the Bible just to get a sermon. And you ask any businessman that's not praying anymore, why? I just don't have the time. It's a conspiracy of interruptions right out of hell. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard referred to busyness of Christians as a narcotic. I don't agree with everything Kierkegaard writes, but he has some powerful warnings to busy Christians. He said it leads to double-mindedness. He spoke of men falling deeper and deeper into busyness while their love for the truth slipped more and more into oblivion. He said it's a mass of connections, the stimuli of activity, ever-increasing calls upon one's time, the more impossible for any to understand the danger he's in. The mirror of God's word is there, but you have to stand still to see a reflection. But he said, the busy man is now moving so fast he has no time to reflect. He rushes by now and he sees nothing. He may even carry the mirror in his luggage, but he doesn't take it out to see and look and judge himself. Worst of all, the busy man is in worse condition than a man with a life-killing disease. Because that man, though he may not be able to stop the deadly disease, he sees the symptoms growing worse. But the busy man has a condition, becomes more and more agreeable, more and more comfortable. The disease of busyness is easier to excuse. He becomes less prayerful, less conscious about the things of God. And his convictions begin to wane. And finally, his actions prove that he's lost the heat of his convictions. But Daniel was wide awake to this attempt to try to get him so busy he was no longer in the secret closet of prayer. He prayed in spite of it, even knowing that he would end up in the lion's den. And you know the rest of the story. The decree calling for a 30-day moratorium on prayer was signed, and Daniel winds up in the lion's den. How does a man or woman become a man or woman of prayer? What was it that motivated Daniel to pray so powerfully and shake hell that the devil had to organize a whole empire to try to shut him down? He was that effective. One man was that effective with God. What is it that brings about a praying man, that a man at 80 years of age is praying with more intensity than when he was a young man? Here's an 80-year-old man that is seeing clearer than he's ever seen. He's hearing from God clearer than he's ever heard before. He's 80 years of age, and he's lost nothing of the touch of God. What was it about him? What motivated him? Where did he get that desire to pray, that motivation to pray? I want to know, because I'm getting up there. You see, Daniel lived in the New York of his day. He lived in a time of spiritual apathy, of drunkenness, love of money, and great temptations. And he's a busy leader, and he lived in a time when very few were praying. But why would an 80-year-old preacher pour his heart out to God so fervently in the face of a lion's den? You see, prayer does not come natural. Flesh and the devil conspire against it. And it's so easy to start praying that it's hard to continue in it. So many have been called to prayer and started and maintained it for a while and then begin to wane over and over. But you see, in time of spiritual declension and prior to judgment, God has always, all through the Bible, the scripture said, has gone looking. He's gone searching for those that were seekers after him. Remember in Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, don't turn there, we hear God pleading. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and seek if you can find a man that executeth judgment, that seeks the truth, and I'll pardon. He said, I'll pardon all the sins if I can just find one man that will seek my heart. Here were people who no longer grieved over sin. They refused correction. They were fully fed and blessed and prospered, and committing adultery, now running with harlots. And they've broken all the bonds of morality. And God says, I'm just looking for a praying man. I'm looking for a seeker after my own heart. You find it again in Ezekiel 23 when you read of the times, similar to ours, a conspiracy of the prophets, ministers, ravening wolves, raving after innocent souls, stealing from the poor and the widows, priests who violate God's law, pastors profaning his holy things, putting no difference between the holy and the unholy, hiding their eyes from sin, prophets full of vanity, preaching lies, false prophets saying, thus saith the Lord, when God said no such thing. God's people were oppressed and robbed and vexed. And God cries out, I seek for a man among you that should make up the heads and stand in the gap before me that I should not destroy, but I found none. God forbid that he should be in this house tonight seeking you, seeking me and find us not. God forbid it should happen in this generation, especially among those who are seekers. And it's that person that's in the Word of God. It's the person that's beginning to read the times through the Word. You can't know the times except through being shut in with God in this Word. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's going to come to your life. You don't know what's happening. But this is how a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, is made by the hand of God. Not only faith comes by reading the Word of God, but a spirit of prayer from the Holy Ghost comes through being shut in with God. This is where Daniel got his knowledge. That's where he got his wisdom. He was a man just like you and me. He's a man of like passions. He was not a saint any more than you and I are as far as being perfect. And after he read that, he said, I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication and begin to fast with sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God. You see, Daniel, being a man of word, becomes a man of prayer. You can't become a man or woman of prayer without being a man or woman of the word. The praying man who shakes hell is the one to whom God has revealed the conditions of his church, and that man humbles himself and identifies with that condition. He identifies with it. Daniel's discovered the time for God to bless his church has come, but he looks at the church and he says, God may be ready to bless, but we're not ready to receive. He looked at the saddened condition of the church of that day. And he said, we're satiated with the sins of Babylon. We've become prosperous and comfortable. We've drifted from the moral standards that we once honored. And God, I believe, put this grief in Daniel's heart. He said, God is ready to restore his church. He's ready to revive. But we're no condition to respond to God's desire because our minds are polluted. Babylon is on the brink of destruction. It's on its last legs. But we are divorcing. We're indulging. Our minds have been corrupted. Our families are falling apart. We're breaking God's laws. We're ignoring the warnings of the prophets. We're no longer obeying God. We've drifted away from it. It's all in the 9th chapter. Go home and read it. It's all there. Pray for revival like you will. Talk about everything God wants to do, and he does. And God has a heart to bless his people and bless his church and bless your family and mine. But if our minds are polluted with the things of this world, If we are not seeking his face, we are in no position to receive his blessings. To date, we have the internet superhighway. Now listen to me, please. And I am not exaggerating. I can back it up. I've seen it in the papers and I've seen other accounts. 90%, not of content, but of activity on the internet, 90% is pornography. I was handed a letter this morning from a school teacher that's in this church and probably here tonight. She said they're monitoring the 15, 16-year-olds is there on the computers. And they called from main office and said, look at in your classroom, and 15-year-olds were into pornography, watching terrible filth. Folks, we've lost a whole generation of kids. And I've often wondered why teenagers of Christian parents can come to this church. I have preached sometimes under such an anointing, I knew that the Spirit of the Lord was on me as if I were in heaven. And I knew that I stood between heaven and hell as a man standing in the gap. And I've seen Christian teenagers sit right in this church with their hands folded down, bored and chewing gum. And I said, how can that happen when hardened old-time sinners are getting up and walking down the aisle and some were shaking and their knees trembling and a teenager sitting there chewing gum, totally untouched? Until you find out their minds have been satiated and they can't get those visions out of their mind. Because if you're watching pornography, sir or ma'am, and there are many of you sitting here right now, you're tuning in, you're watching that filth, and it's satiating your mind, and that's why you don't pray, that's why you're not reading your Bible. You got your mind polluted. And here's the prayer that shakes hell. It's the man or woman who sees the condition. God shows them the condition of the church and the nation. And something rises up because he's been in the Word or she's been in the Word and says, oh God, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to get caught up in this world, this cesspool of iniquity. I don't want my eyes polluted. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't care who doesn't pray. I'm going to pray. I don't care who doesn't read the Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. I want nothing to do with it. And the cry of my heart, night and day, I'm starting to take on ministers' conferences, and I'm saying, oh God, I'm too old to care what people think anymore. My God, we're losing a whole generation. We're losing our kids, even in this church. We have people who can sit in church and be unmoved because they're into filth. Preachers all over the nation. I had a minister friend who went to Germany, and the superintendent of a Pentecostal movement said, don't mention pornography, because almost every preacher that's in our meeting goes to bed at night with pornography. And I cry, oh God, where are the voices? Where are the people that cry out against them? Where are the praying people? And I say, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, keep me on my knees. Hallelujah. Folks, I don't produce conviction. I can't move anybody's heart. If you've been moved by the Holy Ghost tonight, if God's touched you, he put his finger on anything in your life, I'm taking a step tonight. I want you to forgive me for drifting. You know, people who backslide don't even know they're backsliding. They become, that's the narcotic Kierkegaard talked about. I don't know how to give an altar call tonight, except if you're not right with God, this is the time. If you've been backslidden, if you're not right with Jesus, come. And if God's putting his finger on something, obey him. Don't say no to the Holy Ghost. Don't say no to the Holy Spirit. Don't shake off conviction. That's dangerous. The Lord loves his church. He loves his people with an undying love. But we are so bent on going our own way. We're so bent on drifting. We're so bent on giving up that burden of the Lord. That's why God has to keep building a fire under us. He And that's what I believe the house of God is, for encouragement. I believe it's for healing. I believe it's for the ministering of grace. But it's also for the ministering of stirring up our hearts and our minds to continue in His grace, to continue fervently before the Lord. I know He has to do that in me. He has to do that in me every day. He has to keep stirring my heart. I want that. I don't want to drift. I want that stirring in my heart. Has God stirred your heart tonight? You feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing to have, the Holy Spirit moving on you. If that's the case, thank God for that, because you're in a position to be touched and blessed. Would you pray this prayer from deep inside your heart? Lord Jesus, I do love you. I need a touch. Forgive me, Jesus, for neglecting you. I repent. I'm sorry. Don't let me get too busy. Don't let me go away from the Word. Woo me back to the closet of prayer. Lord, forgive my sin. Forgive my iniquities. And cleanse me. Give me clean eyes and a pure heart. Let me not be involved with the sins of this generation. Give me power over the seduction of Satan. Jesus, I receive the cleansing, healing power of Jesus right now. The blood of Christ applied to my heart. By faith, I am forgiven and I am free. And Lord Jesus, give me power now of the Holy Ghost to worship and praise and seek your face. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Any comments? Are y'all repenting? Thank you, Lord. You know, I saw a prayer. Friend of mine, Jeff, sent me, and it said, Lord, I want all of Christ in me. Fill me up with complete Christ, that even if a mosquito bites me and flies off, he'll be singing Power in the Blood. I like that. Me too. If a mosquito bites me, he's going to be flying off singing, There's Power in the Blood. Glory be to God. And that's not but one way to get that, you know, and that's prayer and reading the Word. And as far as these people in these churches, I remember, I listened to it this afternoon, the people in there, for the most part, are in there because they want to hear an easy gospel, an easy, greasy gospel that doesn't convict them of any sin. So I would like to pray that the Father would convict them and separate them from them. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's all kinds of churches out there that have false prophets in them. There's whole denominations that have false prophets in them. And Lord, I'm asking that your shaking would bring them out. That they would question Him, why didn't you warn us of this? And then they would get into the Word, because they see that they're not protected, because they haven't been taught how to be protected by the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for doing that. I thank you for this shaking that's coming that's going to do that. It's going to rout them out of there. Those apostate churches, the ones that you have called, and bring them out of there. Lord, they don't know. They just, they hear that and they think it's funny. You know, they think it's okay. Everything's okay. You know, give the pastor money and he'll be satisfied. Then we'll be satisfied because we're going to get blessed because he said we was going to get blessed. And when the blessing don't come, what happened? They think it's God when it's just the pastor telling lies. Father, we thank you for clarifying that in people's minds, exposing these false prophets, these wolves in sheep's clothing for who they are, and bringing out light into these dark corners, Lord. And I know that's what's fixing to happen. I know it, Lord. I know that I don't know if it's going to be about pestilence. I think that's going to be part of it. I also know that there's going to be a shaking coming, but I know that it's all going to work together for the good to those who love you, Lord. It'll get their minds straight on you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to straighten up your church. It's not going to be anybody's name on that church but yours, Lord, this last day's church. It's going to be your church, the church of Jesus Christ. You're the one that's going to get the glory. Because you're the one that's going to do the shaking. You're the one that's going to bring them in. You're the one that's going to save them, Father. And I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're out of this bunch here, that you're raising up spiritual warriors to pray and to intercede for all the people in their realm of knowledge. And, Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to buckle down and not be distracted from praying. I'm just as, you know, I have been guilty, but Lord, I know that time is short and that we need to be praying. And Lord, I thank you for these people like Dave Wilkerson and your word and your Holy Spirit that comforts us and steers us in the right way to be praying and not to be interrupted from our prayers. I know exactly what he's talking about. Wilkerson was talking about when he said that we can always start praying, but then we always stop too short a lot of times because we get distracted. And Lord, I just thank you from now on, we're just going to get in the spirit and pray and intercede and listen to you and to know what we need to be praying for, Father. And I praise you for the work you're doing in all of us, Lord. In that regard, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? Go ahead, Leah.
Let Deb go.
All right, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, thank you, Leanne. One of the questions I've had, because this has really concerned me a lot, because I have one daughter in particular who's, you know, just loves a couple of these preachers out there that are just telling false things and falsehoods, false preachings, and error. And so I'm like, thinking, I've been so concerned about it. It's like, I want to go tell her, I want to send her something to listen to about this, what this person is preaching, because she's not really hearing it, really. She's just sitting, hearing what everyone else is hearing at the same time. And not, if I could send a certain clip or something with something really false, she'd get it. But, you know, I'm thinking, maybe that's not the right thing to do. So my heart is that, I'm just wondering, what do you do? Like I mentioned earlier to you, Michael, I said, do we just continually pray about this? Or I guess we need to feel the Lord tell us when to really go and say something to somebody. But because sometimes they're not ready to receive, that you've taken up by these idols of theirs that are preaching all this false stuff. But it's just so concerning to me because, you know, I know the ones that she likes, that our daughter likes and listens to and posts things about all the time. And it's all just really good flowery stuff, you know, but there's no real conviction of sin or so.
Well, you know her better than we do, but if she will take, if she sends you stuff that's not scriptural, just reply back to her, you know, I don't see that in the Bible. Could you explain to me how this happened? So, you know, I don't know what you get, but that's the way I do it. I always, you know, I always go back to the Word of God. Where is that in the Word of God? If it's not in the Word of God, we shouldn't be listening to it. If they'll listen, yeah. if they won't listen, best thing to do is pray for them. Be praying for them continually. I pray that Ephesians chapter 1 prayer, you know, or chapter 3, either one. Mm-hmm. Play those for them. I've done that, and it works. It really works.
Yeah, I'm praying it does. I have responded things like that and spoken the word back, but I hear nothing back. So I'd like, you know, they've just either they're not bothering to read it or they just read it and like just shove it away, you know, and don't care. So
yeah,
I do say things.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do say things sometimes with the scripture and use the word.
I sent my granddaughter down at a Mexican eating place, and she's Baptist. She used to be Spirit-filled, but her husband is a Methodist, and they decided to go to the Baptist church after they got married, and it just corrupted her. She's got into that once saved, always saved mess. And I took her down there, and I went through all the scriptures in Romans and Romans 8 and all those scriptures that we know about, you know, out of that sinner saved by grace. She's got a religious spirit. They would let her listen, you know, and said, well, this is not what my church teaches. We believe this. And, you know, you can come back and say, well, if it goes against the Word of God, how can you go with a man's teaching rather than God's teaching? Mm-hmm. They don't know how to respond. It makes them think a little bit. But then the next thing I do, I don't bring it up anymore unless she does. And I pray for her because I know at some point in time she's going to that knowledge that she's getting out of that myth. You used to go to an Assembly of God, which, you know, it's a little bit better, not a whole lot, but it's a little bit better. Now she's going to the Baptist church and been going ever since she's been married. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I just pray for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I know God moves through our prayers. That's the biggest thing we can do is bind the enemy and be praying for them. But when I sit down and hear things like I heard today, that some of the blatant blasphemous lies they say and things they just make up.
Yep.
They think that it's really going to be a real zinger to these listeners, to their people. You know, it's like unbelievable.
It is. It is. They're blasphemous.
Yes.
In their preaching.
And you don't want your children hearing those things. What can we believe? You know, I'm like, oh.
One thing that I found out is if you can get it in their hearts and their minds that the Word of God is actually the Word of God, then they start listening. But, you know, a lot of times they come back with, well, that's just the way you interpret it. Well, when they say that to me, and they say it a lot, I'll say, well, then how would you interpret that? And then they can't give you an answer. Well, I say, I'm going to go with my interpretation. Since you can't give me one, let's just go with this and see what happens. And then take them down through the lanes there, you know. because they can't look, those doctrines that you and I both know about that are wrong, they can't back them up with scripture.
Right.
They can't do it. So we just do it. We have to have a lot of grace with them, a lot of grace. You know, you can get there and hammer them over the head with Bible verses all day long. If I ain't listening, it's not doing a bit of good.
It'll work. Yeah.
All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say about that video that you sent in the earlier email, that somebody didn't watch it. It was about false prophets and sheep and wolves in sheep's clothing and so forth. And as Michael said, the prosperity movement, and but they said a lot of things that were actually true. They're biblical, but they use them in the wrong way. Talked about being gods, and they showed several preachers speaking about Psalm 82, and where it says you are gods, and Jesus even used that when they were when the Pharisees were railing on him about that. That he made himself as God, they misuse those verses in a sense that they're trying to get money. They're making money the main thing instead of they're worshiping money instead of worshiping God. So that's just all I wanted to say. I wanted to bring that part out. That last tape that we just watched, he touched on the wolves in sheep's clothing a little bit, but it wasn't very long. So,
yeah, he touched on Joel Osteen, right. A lot of other ones, Jesse Duplantis, Ken Copeland, right. Flo Dollar, Leroy Thompson. All of those were out there. Everything that you saw in there, he talked about it in the other one, that and more.
Yeah.
That was one of the most. Go ahead.
Deb, I understand it came from you. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Debbie sent it to me, and I thought it was good. It's an awesome testimony to where we are today.
Yeah.
And when you had Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland there talking about getting jets, you know, give me a break.
Yeah, well, Jesse Duplantis only spent $54 million for his jet, and Creflo Dollar spent $64
million for it. Yeah. Well, and then they talked about, well, you think Jesus is going to be walking around preaching the gospel on a donkey if he lived today? Well, he didn't live today, so just get that out of your head already. Now, it's craziness. Father, we just thank you for exposing them for who they are. There's a bunch of greedy wolves out there wanting everybody's money. I saw Joyce Myers. They said, don't you feel bad about taking the money? No, don't feel a bit bad about it.
Michael, which is the pastor that you said had $700 million?
That was Copeland.
Kenneth Copeland?
Yeah. That was last count. He probably got more than that, but man. Yeah. Worth $700 million. There's pastors out there got a whole lot more than him.
Yeah.
What did the Lord say? Don't store up the treasures in earth. Store them up in heaven. What's he going to do with $700 million? He's getting old. He's older than I am. Needs to be out there spreading that money around to the poor folks. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, let's not forget something we should pray against. Like, I think you prayed before, or David, that those preachers, you know, that little circle of Christians around Trump, you know, that they would get out of there. That Paula White, you know, who's the pastor, Paula White, you know, she calls herself, she's part of that inner circle, you know, and it's a prime example of Jezebel. She's right in there with the president. You know, she was with that one gentleman, I forget his name, another not as well-known prosperity preacher, but you know, they just denied that Jesus was the Son of God. Flat out came out and just said it, and it's like, you know, I know there are people out there who, I mean, you know, who do see it, but I hope that's like evidence enough. I mean, and that's a good example of it. I mean, you know, Debbie, of those preachers that your daughter likes or others, just pray that God will open their eyes. Pray that like we prayed about the, you know, the Catholics, you know, last week, but just pray that God will just, you know, set it up. And I know you believe that, you know how he can set it up. Just Lord, bring this video to their attention and open their eyes, you know, show them. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, keep on giving them scripture, but just, you know, Lord, open their eyes, let them see what they say, you know, and just, you know, expose them for who they are, you know, so that they will see and they will flee from it, you know? So that's just, I mean, those are great examples. I've seen so many of those videos, and it's like, wow. I mean, it's just right out there for anybody who has eyes to see and who truly desires the truth. You know, you just click on it and you look at it, and yeah, there it is, coming right out of their mouth, what they really believe. So yeah.
That was Goldstein's wife.
Well, that way, yeah, Victoria Olstein was one of them. Yeah, she's the one who said, "You don't do it for God, you know, do it for yourself. God wants you to be happy." You know, so whatever you do, do it ultimately for yourself. You know, she got up in front of the whole congregation and said that. So yeah, it's another good example. So yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was just, when I watched that video that you emailed, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was so, you know. I shared a month or two ago about they had a, what was it, 2020 or something, had a thing about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and that whole scandal and everything. Oh, these guys put them to shame. The ones in this video put them to shame. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. It's so pathetic. It's like you have to laugh or you cry. I don't, it's just, it's horrible. I mean, it's like, Lord, oh, it's horrible. I ain't got words to express how I was like dumbfounded. It's horrible. And it's like, Lord, please come and do something about this. I know I know different ones were investigated by the government before, not just the Bakers, you know. And, you know, I'm sorry, there's got to be more. You don't abuse money like that and take people across like that and be such a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that whole thing, and there not be more going on behind the scenes that people don't know about. There's more corruption. There's like, Lord, expose it, bring it out, bring it to light, send forth your angels, expose the corruption, Lord, all over Christianity, Lord, just cause them to screw up, show their hands, be exposed, Lord. Just please do this so that your people that are amongst them will just run, Lord. Your elect that's among them, Lord, will just come out of it, Lord. And Lord, we even ask you to even without exposing the corruption, Lord, start working in your people's heart that you're elect, Lord, and show them what they're believing is lies, Lord. You did that with every one of us to some degree or another, Lord. You exposed, you put in us a heart to seek you and want to know the truth. Bring something across their path, Lord, to cause them to start questioning what it is that they believe, even if it's not this prosperity stuff, Lord. Ones that are being taught once saved, always saved, and any kind of doctrinal error, Lord, that's just taking them to hell, Lord. Lord, bring your people out. Cause them to be seekers of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed, Lord. Put in them a heart to want to know the truth, Lord. However that looks, Lord. Be the light that shines, Lord. Make them just so dissatisfied, Lord, in everything that they're doing. And want to, you know, realize, Lord, that the things of the world do not satisfy. They can never have enough, Lord. That help them to see that just the utter emptiness, Lord, of where they're at, Lord. And just cry out to you and seek you with all their heart and want to know the truth, Lord. Go to your word and find it, Lord. Find you in there. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Leo, go ahead, brother.
This might seem sound a little wrong, but I wonder, you know, I don't really even have a problem with these wolves in sheep's clothing so much. I wonder if these men and women who are so mainstream are actually God's judgment upon the so-called church in this country and the world. You know, people, this is what they want to hear. This is the kind of life they want to live. They love the fame and glory, the Hollywood lifestyle. Christianity today is running after money. So they go to these kind of preachers. Why else would they be so successful? You know, and I wonder, it's not so much about exposing these people for who they are, because clearly they are evil, but people can't see past themselves. This is what they want to hear. This is what they want to see. And so God allows these people to be deceived by such, you know, wolves. And I just, you know, it's one thing to see what's going on with all these prosperity preachers here, you know, the mainstream. But I look back on my history, you know, my family, we come from the communist Soviet Union. My parents and grandparents and uncles ran away from the Soviet Union, escaping communism, persecution back in 1988-89. I was just a wee young little boy. We came here as refugees to this country. And I look back at my generation, and everybody around me has forgotten completely their heritage, their ethics, their values, and have completely adopted the Western style of life, business, pursuit of happiness, money, prosperity gospel. And so I think, you know, is it the preacher's fault? Or is it us that gave up, you know, just like the Israelites when they came into the land of milk and honey? They forgot about the acts of God. They forgot about their forefathers. They forgot about everything that was true to God and adopted this Babylonish lifestyle. They didn't want to hear the truth. And so I look at like many of my cousins and family that have completely lost, you know, every remembrance of the past and how God moved and how God was close and how, you know, how the Lord led us to be where we're at, and have adopted this Babylonish lifestyle. And I don't fault the false preachers that they listen to. I mean, this is what they've brought upon themselves. And until that shaking happens, until God sends those Ammonites and Moabites to plunder and pillage them, they won't cry out. You know, because they're, you know, just like David Wilkerson says, you get tired of being the doomsday preacher. You keep preaching it and preaching it, but they don't listen because that's not what they want to hear. And so they're going to continue to dream and hope to be like Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland or whoever else they decide to look at. You know, they'll continue to dream that someday they'll be the multimillionaire with a jet. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I hate to get caught up into looking at the lifestyles of these wolves in sheep's clothing, because they are who they are. They're not, I mean, they're frankly, to me, they're just God's judgment. They're gonna bring these masses into deception, and then God's gonna judge those masses because that's what they asked for. And so God help all of us, I guess. It's a terrible thought, but I don't know how else to see it. I just see it as God's judgment.
You know, Leo, it brings to mind the Russians that came over here in the 40s and 50s from Russia, where they'd gone to China, and then they had gone to, I believe it was Australia, maybe New Zealand, I forget, and then up to Canada. And one of the things that I can't remember the guy's name that related to all of that. He was just a kid when it happened. But what he said was this. He said, when we got to Canada, he said, you could tell there was a difference in the people and the way they honored God. He said the women, their head coverings became smaller and smaller and smaller, and their skirts started coming up and up and up. Mm-hmm. He said the world, the Babylonish world, pretty much took them all over, you know. So, and that's what's happened here. The people that you came over here with, I guess, that's what it sounds like. They came over and got the worldly way. And that's what.
Yeah, there was tens of thousands that came over back in 89. I mean, I remember as a young boy, it took us 3 months to get from the Soviet Union, Ukraine, and Russia down to America. We were going through on trains and boats and making our way through Austria and Italy and shipped around the world, different European countries before we could get to America. And they used to have these broken down factories where they would house thousands of these people, and we were amongst them, made many friends. And then when we all got to the States, you know, this country received us and nurtured us and gave us shelter and gave us freedom to worship, and it was a wonderful time in the beginning. But then as I was growing up, I started to see how all of that started to change, you know, and today I look back at all those churches that were established, and they are completely heathen, just like all those Kenneth Copeland ministries and all their and Joel Osteen. It's the same thing among the Slavic people in this country. And I know many of them. I know all the churches along the West Coast, Central America, and East Coast. And it's just rampant. They might not be as mainstream as all the ones you've all mentioned in these videos and so forth, but it's horrible.
Well, I have to ask this. When you were over in Russia, do you remember having big time spirit filled meetings?
We were just of course we were non-denominational, and so it was mostly house churches. Mm-hmm. But yeah, prayer times were super powerful, and you know, people were hungry for God, and people walked 5 to 10 kilometers at night just to get to a meeting, you know. It was people had a hunger for the Lord. And we didn't have open transportation or cars, or people walked or rode on horses or whatever it took to get from village to village to these house meetings. And I, like I said, I was just maybe 5, 6 years old. So I have a child's memory of that. I don't have the proper memory or the mature memory of that. I have a child's point of view of it. So, but I know it was then. I mean, I know that was happening. And I've heard many testimonies from my parents and grandparents and grandparents of the life they were living. And, you know, many of them have already passed on to be with the Lord, but a lot of those memories of talking to them and hearing those stories are still with me. And I'm not saying that we did anything right to be where I'm at. I feel very blessed and fortunate that the Lord had kept our family in hardships and trials, and always reminded us that it was Him and that we needed to always seek Him. And because I could have been just as successful as my cousins and other extended family and be, you know, multimillionaires just like they are. But somehow, you know, God just kept us separate from that. It was just His grace. I wish there was some formula that you could say, well, we did this right, but we didn't. Somehow it was just God's mercy that He separated us and kept us the way He kept us, and we are where we are today. But looking back and just evaluating all of that, you just kind of see how things went wrong and how people did make choices to follow mammon, you know, instead of truly hold on to faith and truly hold on to the things that really matter. I can see where people deliberately made choices to run after the flesh instead of the Lord.
Yep, that's happening today too. Go ahead, Missy.
Lynn and I totally understand what you're saying, but I think also, you know, there's a response. Everybody has a responsibility to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And you can't, I'm not saying you're doing this, but you can't blame anybody else for you not seeking the Lord. You know, we know David, you know, tells us all the time, be not many of you teachers, because you're more responsible, because, you know, if you make yourself a shepherd or you misuse what God has given you and don't teach the people like you're supposed to, You know, you're held more responsible if you're leading the sheep astray. But at the same time, you know, we have that in Timothy that says, for time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but have itching ears, will heap up to themselves teachers after their own lust, like you were saying. And, you know, and also, you know, because they didn't, you know, the Lord will give them a spirit of error because they didn't love the truth, you know. You know, there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, and there's ones that are tares that never were the Lord's and aren't going to be the Lord's, you know. And I think, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, part of this whole prosperity thing, and they're into it and they're given to it and everything, and that are tared. But there's a lot of God's people out there that are that are His elect, and that they have been deceived, and I think most of us can say, you know, we were deceived at one point or another before we came. The Lord was, by His sovereign hand of mercy and grace, brought us to UBM, and because He put in our heart, I know He put in my heart, there were things that were going on that I was seeing and not understanding. And it's like, why does this have to happen? I started getting into the Word. I started seeking, and I went down some wrong paths, but never got really into them, just seeking, going down different paths, different teachings, you know, and listening to different people, like even on TV. Well, found out, well, that's wrong. Looked on the internet, you know, well, that's wrong, you know, and praise the Lord, He brought me to UBM. And it's just, the Lord is so sovereign, you know. You know, each of us have our own path that we have to go down, the wrong path we have to go down that the Lord sovereignly uses to bring us to see how dead it is for us. I mean, he knows just what we need in our lives, whether it's, you know, what, no matter what it is, you know. And we just, you know, the Lord has been so gracious. You know, the Lord really showed me, you know, that I was under a spirit of delusion. I was under, you know, he really showed me that there's this spirit of hypocrisy, this big, huge spirit of hypocrisy in apostate Christianity, pretending to be something that you're not, you know, thinking that you're something that you're not. And it's a big spirit of delusion. And the Lord just, showed me where I was at, where He brought me. And He's like, you know, Missy, you're no better than them. I just showed you first, you know? And so grieves me to see, you know, His people, whoever they are. I'm sure every one of us are believing for all our family members in particular, and friends and stuff that we know, or their brothers and sisters, you know, the Lord's put in our heart to pray for, that the Lord bring them out of where they're at and bring them to the truth. So that they can, by faith, look in the mirror and see Jesus and know that Christ in them is the hope of glory. That's God's purpose, is to make them a walking and talking Jesus on earth, just like He was, you know. But, you know, so my heart goes out and just reminds me, you know, to pray even for ones, Lord, you know who they are. who you elect or bring them out of it. You know, it makes me angry, you know, what Satan has done to God's people. And the only way that they're going to come out of it is by our prayers, you know? Because, you know, our prayers move the hand of God. It's, you know, that sick, you know, six, the spiritual warfare. And, but anyway, so, yeah, it's, there's the both sides of it. There's both sides of it, Lean, and everybody's responsible. But the wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, the word says they are more responsible. Be not many teachers, they're held more accountable. So, and so, you know, I don't know. I totally understand what you're saying too. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Me? I was going to say the same things you said, Missy. But yeah, I agree with Leonid too and what you were saying. But I just, it does anger you when you see that they're purposely, these men out there and women, the preachers, they're not deceived. A lot of them start out telling truth and preaching the truth and the gospel and the blood of Jesus. Then they got so hungry for money and other things and prestige and being known and but then there's so many, but look how angry God got at in the Old Testament at those shepherds, how they plundered the sheep, and God was very angry at them and how he treated the people that would depended on them. A lot of people come to these people depending on them for truth, and yeah, they are deceived, and they a lot of them are wanting to hear a certain thing because they don't want to, you know, disrupt their lives and have to be accountable for living righteously. And but they are really, these preachers are really accountable, and they are destroying a lot of lives by not leading them the right way. So I was, I think I got on the same time you did, Missy. I was going to say the same things. I'm glad you said it really well. So anyway, thanks.
What was your vision that you shared with us this morning, Debbie?
Oh, yeah, some of the verses, they brought this vision to me, and I saw a vast crowd of people and a huge stage. I didn't mention that part, but there's nobody on it, but it's all these people. And then all of a sudden, something just laid over them. And my first thought was a veil. This veil's got to be lifted from their eyes. And the Lord spoke to me that a veil can be lifted, but what I'm going to put on them when they don't start questioning the error that they're hearing, they're not going to be able to remove. It was like a cloak. The word came to me that it was a cloak, like a cloak, and they're not going to be able to remove that if they don't start questioning the errors they're listening to and that they're hearing, but just receiving them with itching ears. And I think that's what that was referring to, that many of these are just they're just taking it in, and they're not even trying. I guess they think that, well, because this guy is preaching it, then God, you know, I'm okay. This is who he's put me under to listen to this stuff from. So, but yeah, that was real, really said something. It said, a veil can be lifted, but this, the God will allow it to come upon them, will not be lifted. When they want to start seeking the truth, it's going to be too late.
That's what I got from that. I'm trying to do two things at one time and it ain't working. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, the whole thing reminds me of Isaiah 28:15. Where it says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And it just, you know, when you fall into living in a rich nation like this, you know, falling in under the doctrine of this, of the mainstream of this nation, you go from the covenant you should be walking in, you know, to the covenant of the nation, you know, and its religious practice that it's living under, which, you know, I call the covenant of death, you know. Oh, we're a prosperous nation and no one can beat us. Oh, we're a prosperous church, we'll never see want, you know. But God says, you know, this is all death. You know, I brought you under a covenant of life, and you went from that life after the things of the world, you know, after living like the world, talking like the world, dressing like the world, smelling like the world, worshiping as the world worships. Therefore, we go about speaking unto one another falsehoods and lies, and giving people false senses of refuge, false sense of refuge. And under those things, we hide ourselves and we take security. You know, we look for, this is our, you know, this is our promised land. This is our Christ, you know. So people who look at the nations that they live in as a promised land and as the strength of their religions as the Christ, you know, you kind of make it, you make that covenant with death. That's what moving into a prosperous nation can do to you. You know, you're in a nation where you're afflicted. You know, you have a tendency to go into the covenant that's in heavenly places. But that's what it reminded me of, just that verse of scripture there in Isaiah. I do see it as, you know, those who once follow God in spirit and in truth, falling away from him, you know, through wanting to become more like the world, you know, and wanting to, instead of wanting to be seen as Christ-like, you know, even if it's suffering rejection, you know, then falling into a more acceptable worldly image that that nation has set forth to be Christ. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, after listening to Leonid and Missy, you know, there's a little bit of, there's truth in both of them, but, you know, historically, when God judges people here on earth or groups of people, his people, the judgment falls on the deceived, not just the leadership. So people are, you know, by their actions and they're, you know, not following the word or bringing the judgment upon themselves. And like Missy said, there is, you know, we're responsible, you know, we're blessed because we were called and enlightened, but it's the people's responsibility to find what the word says and not just let somebody else tell them. But the judgments are going to fall on everybody that is deceived, not just the leaders of the deception.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's like everybody is saying something that's just exactly what the Lord has shown me. And I think the thing that, when I agree with what Leonid is saying there, but when he was talking, I thought about 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the Lord came to Solomon, and if you read through that, the Lord expresses to Solomon, even when times and conditions have deteriorated and eroded and things are falling apart and destroying, being destroyed around our eyes. We can see it all coming down. He doesn't say, pray for those, you know, speak against those preachers or that, which I'm sure is correct. But he commands us to seek God and pray and turn from our wicked ways, that he may heal our land. And Willie just brought up that scripture there in Isaiah 28:15. The very next verse is interesting as well. That verse 16, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. And the thought just hit me that it's God that has to do this. It has to put that rock, that solid truth, desire, that foundation, that, the next verse, he says, I will make justice the line and righteousness the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. The overflowing scourge shall pass through, etc., etc. And a few weeks ago, we're running late here, but a few weeks ago, the Lord kind of put a different perspective of intercession in my heart. And it was praying for a person, praying in their stead, knowing that if they were of right mind, they would pray that way. But since they're not in a right mind, they're deceived, they're clouded, then I can pray for them in their stead. And I believe, I think God is encouraging us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 to take that promise and to find someone that we know, or the group of those that we're all speaking about, those deceived people in the apostate system that are taken captive, and to pray. We see the walls are coming down. We see the destruction is here. And to pray for them in that way, pray for them as though they were praying, having a right mind and praying for it. We can intercede and take that place for them. And I think, I guess that's what I'm seeing here today, even in that scripture in Chronicles there, where God is encouraging us to seek his face, and he will do the work. So, I don't know. I think I'm done. I just... it was just hitting me. Everything there is good tonight. I thank the Lord for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you allow this message that David Wilkerson has, allow it to sink into us, Lord, and to get into our spirit, that we would do the praying that we're supposed to. I know some of us have. Some of you, of the people here, are probably praying like it's supposed to, but I know there's some that's not. And it's always been a struggle sometimes to get in the prayer closet. But like you said, the busyness that comes around us at times. But Father, I'm just thinking that you're going to, I'm thanking you beforehand to show us that we just need to make time. That first thing in the morning is the best time. And I know some of us get up pretty early, but I know that you would honor somebody with a sacrifice of their time to be with you, Lord, and that you'd give them a good night's sleep. They don't have to have as much as they thought they did. I know when I moved here, I cut way back, Lord, because of my sleep time, because it didn't take a whole lot, because we prayed about it. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I think you're going to do the same thing with everybody else here, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the shaking that is coming that's going to shake people loose from that apostate religion out there and bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. Some of them might do it at death's bed. That's okay, as long as they get in. And Lord, I just thank you that you're going to bring a bunch of mighty disciples together here shortly. And it's going to be an awesome time. Be with us this weekend. I know there's a lot of things going on in the world. Lord, let us show us what you want us to pray for in our sleep time, in our dreams and visions and words that you've given us. And Father, we just thank you so much for that. Protect us and give us a good night's sleep. No longer than what we have to sleep sometimes. Lord, give us a good night's sleep. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, all right, folks.